Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylow's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only 6/19 through 6/25. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
The sun was beginning to set as we made our way down this deserted road. The road was surrounded by nothing but dry, cracked earth and the occasional tumbleweed. We were miles away from the nearest town, our car the only sign of life for as far as the eye could see. The air was hot and still, the only sound the steady hum of the engine. I was driving with my girlfriend Sarah beside me, and our friends, Mike and Jenny, in the back. We had decided to take a scenic route on our way to a weekend camping trip, hoping to avoid the usual highway traffic. It had seemed like a good idea at the time, but now, as the sun dipped lower in the sky, I was beginning to have second thoughts. We were in the middle of nowhere when we spotted the car. It was an old, beat-up sedan, its hood up and steam pouring out from the engine. A woman stood beside it, waving frantically as we approached. "Should we stop?" Sarah asked, her voice tinged with concern. I hesitated for a moment before nodding. "Yeah, let's see if she needs help." I pulled over to the side of the road and we all got out, the hot, dry air hitting us like a wall. The woman hurried over, relief evident on her face. "Thank you so much for stopping," she said, her voice trembling. "My car broke down and I have no cell service out here. Can you help me?" I walked over to the car and peered under the hood. The engine was overheated, steam hissing from the radiator. "Looks like your radiator's busted," I said, wiping sweat from my brow. "We can give you a ride to the nearest town, if you'd like." The woman nodded, her eyes darting nervously to the surrounding desert. "That would be great, thank you." We helped her gather a few belongings from her car and piled back into ours. As we started down the road again, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. The woman's nervousness seemed to increase the further we drove, and she kept glancing out the window, as if expecting someone, or something, to appear. About 10 minutes into the drive, we saw it, a pickup truck parked by the side of the road, its headlights flashing. Two men stood beside it, one of them waving his arms to flag us down. "What now?" Mike muttered from the back seat. "Maybe they need help too," Sarah suggested, though her voice was uncertain. Reluctantly, I pulled over again. The two men approached the car, their expressions hard to read in the fading light. "Hey, we're having some trouble with our truck," one of them said. "Mind giving us a hand?" I got out of the car, my nerves on edge. There was something about the men's demeanor that made me uneasy. They were too calm, too composed, given the situation. As soon as I got out of the car, Sarah got into the driver's seat, just in case we needed to escape. As I walked over to the truck, I noticed the woman in our car stiffen, her eyes widening with fear. "Don't trust them," she whispered urgently. "They're dangerous." I turned to her, confused. "What do you mean?" Before she could answer, one of the men lunged at me, his grip iron tight. "Get back in the car and drive," he growled, his breath hot against my ear. Panic surged through me. I tried to break free, but the man's grip was unyielding. The other man approached, his expression twisted with malevolence. Sarah, Mike, and Jenny were shouting from the car, their voices a chaotic blend of fear and confusion. "Do as he says," the woman screamed. They're going to rob us. With a burst of adrenaline, I manage to wrench myself free and sprint back to the car. "Go, go, go!" I shouted as I dove into the passenger seat. Sarah slammed on the gas, the tires screeching as we sped away. The men ran after us for a few steps before stopping, their figures shrinking in the rearview mirror. The relief was short-lived. In the mirror, I saw the pickup truck's headlights flare to life. They were following us. "Drive faster," Jenny cried, her voice high with panic. "I'm trying," Sarah replied, her knuckles white as she gripped the steering wheel. The truck was gaining on us, its engine roaring like a predator closing in on its prey. My mind raced, trying to think of a way out. We were still miles from the nearest town, and our car wasn't built for speed. "Turn off the road," I shouted, pointing to a narrow dirt path that veered off into the desert. Sarah hesitated for a moment before yanking the wheel to the right. We barreled down the path, the car bouncing and jolting over the rough terrain. The truck followed, its headlights illuminating the landscape in a sickly yellow glow. "Look for a place to hide," Mike said, his voice shaking. Up ahead, I spotted a cluster of rocks and scrub brush.
"There,"
I pointed. "We can hide behind those rocks." Sarah turned the car toward the rocks, and we slid to a stop behind the largest boulder. We killed the engine and the lights, holding our breath as the truck roared past, its headlights sweeping the area before continuing down the path. We sat in silence, the only sound our ragged breathing. The woman was trembling, tears streaming down her face. "I told you not to trust them," she whispered. "They're part of a gang that preys on travelers."
"How do you know?"
Mike asked, his voice low. "I was one of their victims," she replied, her voice breaking. "I escaped, but they caught up with me." We stayed hidden behind the rocks for what felt like hours, the darkness pressing in around us. Every rustle of the wind, every creak of the car seemed amplified, our nerves stretched to the breaking point. Just as we were beginning to think it was safe to leave, the truck reappeared. It had doubled back, its headlights sweeping the area in search of us. The men got out, flashlights in hand, and began to scour the landscape. My heart pounded in my chest as they drew closer, their voices carrying on the still night air. They can't have gone far.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Them said, "Keep looking." We crouched lower, trying to stay out of sight. But as the men approached our hiding spot, I knew we couldn't stay hidden much longer. In a desperate move, I grabbed a rock and hurled it into the distance. The sound of it crashing through the brush drew the men's attention, and they ran toward the noise. "Now," I whispered urgently. "Get in the car and go." We scrambled back into the car, trying to make as little noise as possible. Sarah started the engine, and we crept away from the rocks, the truck's headlights receding in the distance. We drove in silence, the tension in the car palpable. No one spoke until we saw the lights of the town up ahead. Relief washed over us as we pulled into a gas station, the bright lights and the presence of other people a welcome sight. The woman got out, her face a mixture of gratitude and fear. "Thank you," she said, her voice shaking. "You saved my life." We called the police, who took our statements and promised to investigate the gang. As we watched the woman leave with the officers, we couldn't shake the feeling of lingering dread. As we continued our journey, the events of that night stayed with us. If you're enjoying it so far, make sure you hit that subscribe button. The highway stretched out before us, seemingly endless and devoid of other travelers. The air was filled with the soft hum of our car's engine and the occasional chirping of crickets from the fields that flanked the road. I was behind the wheel, and my friends were engaged in a spirited discussion about the best horror movies. We were headed to a secluded cabin in the mountains for a weekend getaway, eager for a break from our daily routines. As the sky darkened, we spotted a dilapidated rest stop up ahead. Its neon sign flickered weakly, half of the letters burned out. The structure looked abandoned, but we were all eager to stretch our legs and use the bathroom before continuing our journey. "Do you think it's open?" Megan asked, squinting at the sign. "Only one way to find out," I replied, turning into the rest stop's cracked and overgrown parking lot. We got out of the car, the evening air cool and still. The rest stop was eerily silent, the only sound the distant rustling of leaves. The building was small, with boarded up windows and a faded sign that read "Restrooms." "This place gives me the creeps," Lily said, hugging herself. "Come on, it's probably fine," Jason said, though his voice lacked conviction. We approached the building, the gravel crunching under our feet. I pushed open the door, which creaked loudly, revealing a dimly lit interior. The air inside was musty, and the flickering fluorescent lights cast an eerie glow. As we stepped inside, I felt a chill run down my spine. The restrooms were at the back, and the doors to both were slightly ajar. I motioned for Megan to follow me to the men's room while Jason and Lily headed to the women's. The restroom was in a state of disrepair, with cracked tiles and a broken mirror. I used the urinal quickly, eager to get out of there. As I washed my hands, I heard a faint whisper, almost too soft to catch. "Megan, did you hear that?" I asked, turning to her. "Hear what?" she replied, her brow furrowing. "It sounded like a whisper," I said, straining to listen. But the sound was gone. We regrouped outside, and I noticed Jason and Lily looked just as uneasy as we felt. "Did you guys hear anything strange in there?" I asked. "Yeah," Jason said, nodding. "It sounded like someone whispering, but there was no one else in the restroom." A sense of unease settled over us, but we brushed it off, attributing it to our imaginations running wild in the creepy setting. We decided to grab some snacks from the vending machines before heading back to the car. The vending machines were located in a small alcove at the side of the building. As we approached, I saw a shadow move out of the corner of my eye. I turned quickly, but there was nothing there. "Did you see that?" I asked, my voice shaking slightly. "See what?" Megan asked, looking around. "I thought I saw a shadow," I replied, scanning the area. "Let's just get our snacks and go," Jason said, his voice tense. We fumbled with the vending machines, the old buttons sticking as we made our selections. As we waited for the machines to dispense our snacks, I heard the whisper again, louder this time. "Who's there?" I called out, my heart pounding. Silence was the only reply. We quickly gathered our snacks and made our way back to the car, the fun atmosphere of our road trip now replaced with a heavy sense of dread. We got in the car and locked the doors, our eyes scanning the darkening surroundings. "Let's just get to the cabin," Lily said, her voice barely above a whisper. I started the car, but it wouldn't turn over. The engine sputtered and died. Come on, I muttered, trying again. The car remained stubbornly silent. This can't be happening, Megan said, her voice tinged with panic. We can't be stuck here. As I kept trying to start the car, Jason and Lily kept watch, their eyes darting around nervously. The air felt thick, and the darkness seemed to close in around us. Just when we thought it couldn't get worse, the whisper returned, louder and more insistent. We need to get out of here, I said, my voice shaking. Maybe there's someone nearby who can help. We got out of the car and decided to check the rest stop's office. It was a long shot, but we had no other options. We moved as a group, sticking close together, our flashlights cutting through the darkness. The office door was locked, but Jason found a rock and smashed the window. We climbed inside, the sound of the glass breaking echoing eerily in the still night. The office was just as rundown as the rest of the building, with papers scattered everywhere and a thick layer of dust covering everything. As we searched for anything useful, the whispering grew louder, now accompanied by faint footsteps. My heart pounded as I rifled through the desk drawers. Before we could leave, the footsteps stopped right outside the office door. We froze, the air thick with tension. The door creaked open slowly, and a figure stood silhouetted against the weak light from the hallway. It was a man, his clothes tattered and his eyes wild. What are you doing here? He demanded, his voice rough and edged with panic. We're just trying to leave, I said, my voice trembling. Our car won't start, and we thought we might find help here. The man stepped closer, and I could see the fear in his eyes. You shouldn't be here, he said, his voice dropping to a whisper. They don't like visitors. Without another word, he turned and ran down the hallway. We bolted from the office, the keys clutched tightly in my hand. We ran back to the car, the whispering now a cacophony around us. I fumbled with the keys, finally getting them into the ignition. The engine roared to life, and I didn't waste a second. We sped out of the rest stop, the dilapidated building receding into the distance. We drove in silence, the fear slowly giving way to relief. As the lights of the next town came into view, I finally allowed myself to breathe. We pulled into a well-lit gas station. As we filled up the tank and grabbed more snacks, we recounted what had happened. None of us could explain the whispers or the footsteps, but we all agreed on one thing: we were lucky to have gotten out of there. The rest of the trip was uneventful, but the memory of that night stayed with us. If you're enjoying it so far, make sure you hit that subscribe button. We were about 3 hours into our road trip, the sun dipping low in the sky and casting long shadows across the rural highway. The landscape around us was a patchwork of fields and forests, with the occasional farmhouse dotting the horizon. The air was filled with the smell of fresh grass and the sound of crickets starting their evening chorus. It was a beautiful, tranquil scene, and we were in high spirits, laughing and joking as we drove. I was behind the wheel, my best friend, Josh, in the passenger seat, and our other friends, Emma and Lisa, in the back. We had the windows down, the breeze tousling our hair as we sang along to our favorite songs on the radio. It was the perfect start to our weekend getaway. As we rounded a bend, I noticed a figure in the distance, standing by the side of the road with his thumb out. He was tall, with a scruffy beard and a worn backpack slung over one shoulder. He looked like he'd been traveling for a while, his clothes dusty and his face lined with fatigue. Hey, should we pick him up? Josh asked, turning to look at me. I hesitated for a moment, glancing at the gas gauge. We still had plenty of fuel, and the next town wasn't far. Besides, the guy looked harmless enough, and it was getting late. Sure, why not? I said, pulling over to the side of the road. The hitchhiker approached the car with a grateful smile. Thanks for stopping, he said, his voice rough but friendly. I've been walking for hours. No problem, I replied, unlocking the back door. Hop in. He climbed into the back seat next to Lisa, who scooted over to make room. Name's Tom, he said, extending a hand. Lisa shook it hesitantly, and I could see the unease in her eyes. Emma, on the other hand, seemed more relaxed, offering him a friendly smile. As we drove, Tom told us a bit about himself. He was a drifter, traveling from town to town in search of work. His last job had fallen through, and he was trying to make his way to the next town, hoping for better luck. He seemed genuine, and for a while, we all relaxed, enjoying the company and the stories he shared. But as the sun sank below the horizon and darkness enveloped the road, a sense of unease began to creep in. Tom grew quieter, his gaze fixed on the passing landscape. The atmosphere in the car shifted, the earlier joviality replaced by a tense silence. The first disturbance came when Tom asked us to pull over. "I need to stretch my legs," he said, his voice flat. I pulled to the side of the road, and we all got out, grateful for the chance to stretch and breathe in the cool night air. But as Tom walked a little way off, I noticed something odd. He kept glancing back at us, a strange look in his eyes. It was almost as if he were measuring us, assessing our reactions. I shrugged it off, telling myself I was being paranoid. We got back in the car, but the tension was palpable. Tom's demeanor had changed. He was no longer the friendly hitchhiker we'd picked up. Instead, he seemed restless, fidgeting with his backpack and staring intently at the road ahead. "Everything okay, Tom?" Josh asked, trying to break the silence. Tom turned to him, his eyes cold and unblinking. "Yeah, just thinking," he replied curtly. The unease grew. Emma and Lisa exchanged worried glances, and I tightened my grip on the steering wheel, my heart pounding in my chest. We were about 20 minutes from the next town when Tom suddenly pulled out a knife from his backpack. "Keep driving," he said, his voice a low growl. "And don't try anything stupid." My blood ran cold. The car was filled with a tense, oppressive silence. Emma let out a small gasp, and Lisa's face went pale. Josh, ever the brave one, tried to reason with him. "Look, man, we don't want any trouble. Just tell us what you want." Tom's grip on the knife tightened. "I want you to drive to the old mill, just outside town. You know the one?" I nodded, my throat dry. The old mill was abandoned, a place locals avoided due to rumors of it being haunted. This was turning into a nightmare. The drive felt like an eternity. The darkness outside seemed to press in on us, the headlights barely piercing the gloom. I could feel Tom's eyes on me, his presence a constant, looming threat. No one spoke, the tension thick enough to cut with a knife. As we approached the mill, I could see its silhouette against the night sky, a hulking, decaying structure. I pulled into the overgrown parking lot and turned off the engine. "Now what?" I asked, trying to keep my voice steady. Tom motioned for us to get out of the car. "All of you, out," he barked. We complied, fear gripping us. The air was cold and still, the only sound the rustling of leaves in the breeze. He led us to the entrance of the mill, the door hanging on its hinges. "Inside," he ordered. We stepped into the darkness, the air thick with dust and the smell of decay. Tom's back was turned for a moment, and Josh seized the opportunity. He tackled Tom, the knife clattering to the ground. "Run!" Josh shouted. Emma, Lisa, and I bolted for the car, my heart pounding in my ears. I scrambled into the driver's seat, fumbling for the keys. Tom and Josh were struggling, but Josh managed to land a punch that sent Tom reeling. He sprinted to the car, jumping in as I started the engine. We tore out of the parking lot, the mill receding into the distance. No one spoke, the reality of what had just happened sinking in. We drove straight to the nearest police station, our bodies shaking with adrenaline and fear. We told the police everything, and they immediately sent a patrol to the mill. They found Tom, unconscious but alive. He was a wanted criminal, responsible for several robberies and assaults in the area. We were lucky to have escaped with our lives. As we sat in the police station, recounting our harrowing experience, I couldn't shake the feeling of lingering dread. The rural highway, that was a symbol of freedom and adventure, now felt like a place of terror and danger. To this day, the sight of a lone figure standing by the side of the road sends a shiver down my spine.
If you're enjoying it so far, make sure you hit that subscribe button.
I had been driving for hours. The rhythmic hum of the tires on the asphalt was the only sound breaking the oppressive silence of the night. It was just past midnight, and I found myself on a remote stretch of highway, miles away from the nearest town. The moon, obscured by thick clouds, offered little illumination. My headlights cut through the darkness, but beyond that, it was an endless abyss. I glanced at the gas gauge and felt a knot tighten in my stomach. It was dangerously low. I hadn't seen a gas station for miles, and the thought of being stranded out here was terrifying. I checked my phone, no signal. Of course, I thought, just my luck. I decided to press on, hoping to find a gas station or at least a sign pointing to civilization. The minutes dragged on, and with each passing moment, my anxiety grew. The road was eerily empty, not a single car had passed by in either direction. My mind began to play tricks on me. Every shadow seemed to move, and every rustle in the distance felt like a predator waiting to pounce. I turned up the radio, trying to drown out my thoughts, but all I got was static. Great. As I continued driving, I noticed something in the distance, headlights. Relief washed over me. Another car meant I wasn't alone out here. But as the car approached, I felt a twinge of unease. The headlights were bright, almost blinding, and the car was moving fast. Too fast. The car zoomed past me, its high beams illuminating the interior of my car for a split second. I caught a glimpse of the driver, a man, staring straight ahead, his face expressionless. As the car disappeared into the darkness, I breathed a sigh of relief. But that relief was short-lived. In my rearview mirror, I saw the car's brake lights flare up. It was slowing down. Panic set in. Why was it slowing down? Was the driver lost, or was something more sinister at play? The car came to a complete stop before turning around and heading back in my direction. My heart pounded in my chest. This can't be good. I pressed down on the accelerator, my car lurching forward. The other car matched my speed, its headlights glaring in my mirrors. I tried to ignore it, focusing on the road ahead, but my eyes kept darting to the mirror. The car was tailgating me now, its high beams blinding me. I swerved into the other lane, hoping to let the car pass, but it stayed right behind me. I accelerated again, pushing my car to its limits. The engine roared, and the tires screeched against the asphalt, but the other car remained glued to my bumper. My mind raced with possibilities. Was this some kind of prank, or was I in real danger? The road began to twist and turn, and I struggled to maintain control at such high speeds. The car behind me mimicked my every move, its driver determined to stay on my tail. I knew I couldn't keep this up forever. I needed to find help, or at least a place to hide. In the distance, I spotted a flickering light. A gas station. Relief and fear mingled in my chest. I didn't know if the station was open or if anyone would be there, but it was my only hope. I veered off the highway, my tires skidding on the gravel as I pulled into the station's lot. I jumped out of the car, leaving the engine running, and sprinted toward the small building. The gas station was old and run down, the kind of place that looked like it belonged in a horror movie. The flickering neon sign cast an eerie glow over the lot. I banged on the door, praying someone would answer. Behind me, I heard the other car pull in, its engine idling ominously. I turned and saw the driver step out. He was tall and wore a dark hoodie, his face obscured by the hood. My heart raced as he began to walk toward me. "Please, help me," I shouted, pounding on the door again. The driver continued his slow, deliberate approach. My mind screamed at me to run, but my legs felt like lead. Just as the man reached the bottom of the steps, the door behind me creaked open. An elderly man with a kind but weary face peered out. "What's going on here?" he asked, his voice trembling. I turned to him, my words tumbling out in a frantic rush. "This man, he's been following me. I think he's trying to hurt me." The old man looked past me to the driver, who had stopped at the bottom of the steps, his face still hidden. "You need to leave," the old man said, his voice firm despite the fear I saw in his eyes. For a moment, the driver didn't move. He simply stared at us, his presence exuding menace. Then, without a word, he turned and walked back to his car. I watched as he got in, started the engine, and drove off into the night. The old man ushered me inside and locked the door behind us. "You're safe now," he said, though his voice lacked conviction. We watched through the window as the car's taillights disappeared down the road. I spent the rest of the night at the gas station, too shaken to drive. The old man kept me company, his presence a small comfort in the wake of the terror I had just experienced. He told me stories of the highway, of the strange and dangerous people who sometimes wandered through. But nothing he said could explain the man who had followed me or what he wanted. The next morning, I thanked the old man and left, my car's gas tank filled and my nerves still frayed. As I drove away, I couldn't shake the feeling that the man in the hoodie was still out there, waiting. The highway seemed to stretch on forever, and with every mile, I felt the shadows closing in around me. I learned a valuable lesson that night: always be vigilant on the road, because you never know what, or who, you might bump into on the road. Be careful out there. If you enjoyed this video, make sure to subscribe to our channel and hit the like button for more terrifying tales. Don't miss our latest video, Scary Appalachian Trail Horror Stories, where we uncover eerie and unsettling experiences from hikers on the Appalachian Trail. See you in the next video.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.